All set.
All right. Okay, we are back on the record. So, Mr. Gerson, you've had a chance to look at Ms. Eubanks' language and talk to your clients about it.
Correct.
You want to tell us what you think?
Yes. So, I appreciate the approach, I think.
We appreciate that effort by Ms. Eubanks, and I think that obviously a more concise ballot question is a good idea. We think, however, and if it's okay, Ms. Eubanks, I can either tell you how I interpret some of your changes or just ask you why you did it. But I mean, I'm assuming that you put the debt issue up front for a reason.
Right, and I'm happy to explain if you'd like. It's at least my recollection. I don't believe there's been a state question posed either through the legislature or through the initiated measure that's a combined tax and debt question.
Right.
So, and what local governments do, I don't think they're subject to the same requirements as are imposed under the Constitution in terms of a statement of single subject. And so, I mean, if you had just the tax question or you had the debt question, Tabor requires that language to be, you have the mandatory language to come first. The other complicating factor is you also have to have a statement of single subject, a clear and concise statement of single subject. And to me, it's both, and I know what you said you thought the single subject is, which is the sales tax increase to fund state and local transportation projects. I don't know that I agree with that, because to me, the measure, because the sales tax proceeds may or may not be used to pay the trans,
right,
that the financing aspect of the measure is part of the single subject. And so to have a statement of single subject that applies to sort of both the major components of the measure, that's why I had both of those things up front, so that there's a single statement of the subject up by the mandatory language. So, I mean, the Tabor language isn't necessarily conducive to working in the statement of the single subject. And so this was my attempt to try to comply with Tabor and also have a clear statement of the single subject for this title. That's where I was coming from.
And I think our response would be that, yes, because this is a state initiative, there's a requirement for a single subject statement up front. That the use of the tax revenues for purposes of paying off the bonds is a use of the tax revenues like any other use of the tax revenues. So it is a central feature, but it is not the single subject of the measure, because all of the tax revenues are not being used for the bonds. And therefore, I don't think the bond or the trans element is part of, it's a central element, but it's not the single subject of the measure, because the single subject is obviously broader than that.
And to me, it's all of that. All of the above, you're trying to generate revenue to fund transportation projects, and you're using two different mechanisms. The fact that the sales tax revenues may or may not be used to pay off the trans, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, you're trying to generate revenue that then you dictate how it's going to be used.
Right.
Part of it's the sales tax revenue, and part of it's the trans proceeds. And to me, those two things, which are major components of the measure, relate to the single subject of transportation projects in Colorado. And the reason that I, because you can say state and local, you know, there's that fear of, is that a single purpose? I mean, in terms of state versus local,
oh.
You know, congressional versus state, you know, reapportionment versus redistrict, I don't know. And so to have a single subject of your transportation projects in Colorado, and then you get into the details in terms of the sales tax revenues can be used for state and local because it's split,
right.
Versus the trans that are just for state projects, and then you have the, you know, voter approved revenue change, you know, everything that's de-bruced. So that's sort of what I was trying to accomplish, but we don't have any prior experience, so this was my
stab
at it.
Right, and there's certainly, you know, with the exception of, you know, Bickle maybe, where the court looked at several, albeit local measures, but the structure of the ballot question didn't bother them as long as there was a good faith effort to estimate the amount of the tax increase. And there they approved the pairing of a tax increase and a bond issue, as I recall Bickle. So I'm not sure that the placement is as important as the clarity for purposes of pairing both a tax increase and a bonded indebtedness increase in the same question.
And to me, the importance of both aspects of the measure requires that both of those things be up front. I mean, that it's not a sales tax measure and you just happen to throw in the trans. It's two financing mechanisms used to generate a pot of money that is used for this particular purpose. And that's why I say, you know, the locals aren't subject to having a, you know, a statement of single subject. And so when you look at a lot of times a tax increase that's used to then finance the bonds that are also included in that question, I mean, it's different. I mean, here, all the state tax revenues may be used for something different than trans projects. I mean, they may, the proceeds from the I mean, obviously, this part of the sales tax revenues goes to the locals.
Right, right.
And in terms of the state share of the sales tax revenues, those revenues may or may not be used to pay off the trans.
Well, there will be certain elements of the sales tax revenue that will be used to pay off the trans.
And in reality, but in terms of what the measure says, I think the measure talks about that the sales tax, those revenues may be used to pay off the trans, or they may be used for these other projects.
No.
Now, the reality is that may be the case. I mean, obviously, and the way it worked with the trans, the original trans, is that the revenues that came in to pay off the trans were not only the federal revenues, but then the state flow of revenues that came from the fuel tax and whatever other sources, you know, registration fees, whatever.
Right.
It was both a combination, and that's probably going to be the case. But the fact that the sales tax can be used for other projects, other state projects, which is why I was asking those questions
right.
At the beginning. To me, the bonds isn't just a side issue of the tax increase.
Well, Madam Chair, I guess I would ask whether or not it's the sense of the board. We would have different comments in terms of proposed amendments to Ms. Eubanks' language if the board feels that the two financing mechanisms are part of the same single subject, or whether or not the issue is the tax increase and the use of a portion of those proceeds are on the trans bonds, which can be referred to later along the lines, maybe not exactly in the same way as the staff draft. So I maybe to try and economize for your time, could I maybe see whether or not which way the board is going so that I don't.
Well, I guess Turn my mic back on. I guess one of my questions would be, do you, and this is probably more for Sharon, do you think that it has to be done that way because of the requirements in Tabor? Or do you think that it's just so central to what's going on that it's part of the single subject? Because Tabor says, you know, we shall start these questions, shall district taxes be increased, and then, or shall district debt be increased?
Right. And so it doesn't specify what you do when you got both.
Right.
So to say that Tabor requires it, I have to say I don't know that it does. But in terms of complying with a statement of single subject for the entire measure, it's both of those components that are being used to pay for the transportation projects. That's the purpose of the measure. And so that's my argument. But like I say, I just don't necessarily view it that this is a sales tax measure and, oh, by the way, there's a detail about a trans. If you had the trans separate, and as we know from 1999, you know, shall debt be increased? And we argued that you didn't have to go to the ballot.
No.
We weren't successful with that. So there you are.
Okay.
Right.
Where are you?
I like Sharon's redraft.
What?
I like the redraft.
Okay.
Not so much for any of the legal.
Would you turn it on?
Yeah. I like Ms. Eubanks' redraft. Not so much because I have a legal argument one way or the other here, but because I think it's more clear.
As to the single subject?
As to the single subject, as to for the voters.
Right.
I remember reading last night sales tax debt and having the, and I didn't go look it up, the debt language being in Tabor and going, huh, this is interesting how this was dealt with. And then I moved on because I had a different single subject than necessarily the one that you articulated, but I believe it's a single subject. Begs the question for me while I'm sitting here whether or not sales tax and debt are two subjects, given the disjunctive in Tabor, but that ship has already sailed at this point. So,
well, and I think the courts have said you can do it. Yeah. The courts have said you can do it.
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
But so combining them up front makes that reaction I had when I read it makes me feel better. But frankly, I just think it's more clear.
What's your position, Mr. Grishkin?
We think that the issue, as we portrayed it to legislative council and as I portrayed it here, is a sales tax increase. One dedicated portion of that revenue being for the debt that is authorized here. I think because the court hasn't looked at it, and because, more to the point, Tabor doesn't require that in this kind of a measure they both be up front. Tabor's very clear. If you have a debt increase, it has to be clear up front. If you have a tax increase, it has to be clear up front. It does not say that if you have them both, in order to facilitate voter understanding, they both have to be up front.
But what about the language that specifies so clearly how you have to start a question?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do we do with the fact that both of these things are going on?
The notion that bonded indebtedness would increase by a district, as that term is used in Tabor, I think was presupposed by the notion that there would be a single purpose for a ballot issue rather than to marry the two together. And then when that happened, when the court looked at it in Bickel, the court said, well, that's okay because voters get the fact that if you're going to propose debt, you're going to have tax revenue, it's going to be all part of the same package. So I think the courts, and I hope I am, I believe I am quoting to you Bickel correctly, but I think the court really from 1994 on hasn't been all that wound up over the notion that somehow voters would be shocked that there is both bonded indebtedness and a way to pay for it, all as part of the same notion. As a matter of fact, I think they would be more shocked by, say, I don't know, a transportation bond proposal that has absolutely no money to pay for the bonds. And so I don't see the trans issue as being part of the same issue. If all of the revenue was being, if all the new sales and use tax revenue was being spent on the trans bonds, then maybe. But it actually confuses issues because it makes it look that is exactly what is going on in terms of the proposed language. It makes it look like the tax is being proposed to pay for this bonded indebtedness. And that is not accurate. The tax is being proposed and the bonded indebtedness is being increased and a portion of the revenue will be used for it. But that is not, I think you are misleading voters by putting them both up front.
What's our... Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm concerned about that. How much are we increasing? I don't even have the fiscal note in front of me. But if we're increasing taxes by $100 million annually, and then it looks like we're just going to use all that to pay $3 million off, then it looks kind of like what's happening to the rest of the money.
As I recall.
I guess we explain it later, but.
Well, I mean, this gets into a different issue, which I know you can't actually get to in terms of the abstract at this part of the process. But there would be something in the ballot measure, excuse me, in the petition about that. But without going there just yet, I guess what I would make sure you know is that based on the fiscal note, there's for this tax measure number 23, there's $705 million used for purposes of, excuse me, generated by the new tax. And if I am recalling the specifics of the fiscal note correctly, there's $250 million of that is being used. Let me find that because I do not want to misquote the staff's. Let me take a look at the proposed abstract. That was maybe more clear. Yeah, the proposed abstract says sales and use tax revenue will be expended for debt service obligations estimated at $250 million annually for transportation projects. That's out of 705. So the truth is the bonded indebtedness is not insignificant, but it is less than, you know, 30% or 35% of the revenue. Okay. And that you do not glean that from a reading of those two Tabor elements put back to back.
All right. Well, and I mean, I'm fine either way. So.
And if I could just make one comment, and I totally understand your argument. Back in 99, when we were advocating that trans didn't even have to go to the voters, and the Supreme Court came out and said no, because of the magnitude of the notes involved, and at that point in time, it was $1.7 billion in comparison to the amount now, which is even a larger amount of bond. And so... If the Supreme Court thought it was important because of the amount, to me, that's still a major component of this pot of money that's being generated for transportation projects.
Oh, I absolutely agree.
And the fact that the sales tax revenues portion of the state share may be used as necessary to pay off the trans, that's fine, and then it's used for other purposes. But I don't see necessarily the connection just because you have the language next to each other at the very beginning that it's implied that the sales taxes are being imposed solely to pay off the debt. And I tried to make it clear later on to clarify that the sales tax and, you know, that it goes to the local and as well as the state, and then that the trans is just for the state. But I understand your perspective.
I understand your perspective.
Let me hopefully advance this a little more. So pulled up Bickle, which you cited favorably. The Bickle provision puts both the debt and the taxes up front combined. So whatever the Supreme Court was looking at in Bickle, Ms. Eubanks' approach is what they were considering. So that to me is telling that we should stick with that model as we go forward. So I'm now advancing from just liking it for clarity purposes to liking it for clarity and legal purpose. And I agree with you, I don't think the precedent doesn't find it has to be, but it certainly doesn't find that it can't be.
Right.
Right. So then I think I'm on the side of advancing with Ms. Eubanks' approach as opposed to the staff draft. But
oh. All right, well, I'm fine with that. You want to move to the list?
Well,
go ahead.
Make your record.
No. I think this is a novel issue. It's one of those Tabor questions that didn't get answered by its author, and so far hasn't been addressed by the court. So I consider this to be a respectful and important interchange that to which there is. Probably there are probably several right answers, but understanding that it appears that the consensus on the board is to keep them somewhat keep them bunched right at the beginning, I think that where we would argue that there is some clarification that can be inserted in those two phrases. It would be valuable. And specifically what I'm suggesting is that on line 2, after the word period and before the word and, that you would insert to pay for statewide transportation improvements. And then retain the qualifier after $5 billion on line 3, which says to pay for, and I think we would just argue, you know, some differentiation is valuable here in light of the conversation we've just had, to pay for certain transportation projects in Colorado or to pay for other transportation projects in Colorado. So the purpose of the tax certainly can be included in a Tabor description, and we think in order to differentiate the bonds from the tax increase, we ought to have that level of clarity up front. Because it ought not be that it is the end of line 3 by which people know what it is that the tax increase is about.
What if we put the annually for a 20-year period to pay for transportation projects in Colorado, but didn't? I mean, do you really need a trailer after the other part? I mean, if you say other, it implies that there's no overlap. Couldn't there be some overlap in the what you bond is also going to be a transportation project in Colorado?
Ultimately, because there's discretion vested in the Transportation Commission, you're right, Madam Chair, that they could decide that a particular project needs some supplemental funding and it is a priority. Maybe certain rather than other, just to make it clear, or designated projects, because it's going to be the commission that's going to designate based on the federal formula where the money goes.
I'd be fine with that.
And I guess my concern is if you put, you know, certain projects up for the sales tax and then other projects for the trans, so what's your statement of single subject? I mean, that's the other part that I was trying to have one statement of, this is the single subject of this measure for purposes of complying with Article 5, Section 1, 5.5, and then get into the details later on of distinguishing what the sales tax, because I still feel we have a duty to have a statement of single subject. Yeah. And if you have these projects here and that those projects there, what's your clear, concise?
It's transportation improvements. I mean, there are various categories of transportation improvements here. And as you explored at the beginning of this hearing, they may fall into different subcategories within the department's budget, but they are all transportation improvements. And so I think transportation improvement is not such a broad subject that the Supreme Court would blanch at over a single subject concern, which we hopefully don't have. But I don't see. I mean, the board has approved funding mechanisms that have been had an array of funding objectives. And that hasn't really been the, as a matter of fact, the court's rejected the analysis that a new tax or a new bonding mechanism can only have a single funding objective.
And I'm with you on that. it's just this concern of having a statement of the single subject as well as trying to comply with the TABOR requirements. And you know, if you distinguish up front, then are you susceptible to the argument that you don't have a single subject? I don't know. Like I say, we haven't dealt with this particular situation before. And so that's what I was trying to accomplish by consolidating and mm-hmm. having the broad reference to transportation projects in Colorado and then itemize it out accordingly later on. That's, you know, if you want to take the risk, then I guess it just, and in terms of what you suggest, I don't know that really gives a lot of information to the voters in terms of distinguishing what the sales tax is being used for versus what the trans proceeds are being used for.
Well, but if it's clear that the tax is going for statewide transportation projects and the trans are going for designated projects, the voters will understand that there is a distinction because the modifiers are different, and the rest of the ballot question can provide some additional clarity, although I would argue the level of detail that you've included may be overly generous for what voters need in order to establish their level of support or opposition to this.
And that's totally subject to discussion, too.
Absolutely.
Where are you?
I have other issues with the lead-in language, but I'm with Ms. Eubanks.
What are your other issues?
I think that we just have to tweak the language that she drafted so it's consistent with the TABOR. So you have to move shell in front of state for both the debt and tax increase.
Oh, so that's drafter error, sorry.
And you have to strike up to in front of the $3.5
billion. Oh, same argument.
Same thing we talked about before.
And that's probably because we had the discretion to do that in the ballot question in the 99 trans because it was just a ballot question.
Okay. Is that it?
I have a question or really a concern with the word temporary in the fourth line from the bottom. I had the same issue with the staff draft.
Okay, should we deal with
well, the yeah, first, I mean, you deal with whatever you want, but okay. That's the only other thing that I plan to raise.
Okay. And then I think we need to strike the up to language on line two.
Oh, yeah.
And should we go ahead and put in a dollar amount for the, since we're dealing with this phrase now anyway, or not?
Yeah, let's sure. Let's do that and then adopt those changes and then move on.
So are you moving those changes, or?
I can.
Okay.
I would move the changes as they appear on the screen in lines 1 and 2 of Ms. Eubanks' redraft.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
So could I maybe make one suggestion, if that's the language the board's settling on? I continue to believe that the transportation usage of the funds is unclear relative to the tax increase. I'm not sure that this solves it. I think it might improve it to put a comma at the end of line 1 after period and another comma after 5 billion on line 3, such that it's clear that the dependent clause of to pay for transportation projects applies to both.
And I debated whether to do that in terms of setting off the debt question to make it clear that transportation projects went to both. And so I'm fine with that change. And so I would move the changes in terms of the insertions of the comma after period on line 1 and after the $5 billion figure on line 3.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
So that does then take us to the list.
And again, this was sort of my difficulty of trying to comply with all the requirements that we tried to do. I know that usually we include the reference to statute or constitution up in the previous phrase, but it just was so hard that I had the reference to the Colorado Revised Statutes here. After the in connection therewith, it just seemed to flow, and I think that would comply with our requirement that it indicates that it's a statutory change.
Okay.
And then in terms of the substance of the various phrases, have at it.
So I think certainly my challenge in understanding transportation funding in Colorado was lessened somewhat by about a 2.5-hour session with legislative staff at review and comment. Understanding that most voters won't get the benefit of that 2.5 hours. I think that the specificity about the percentages will actually be confusing to voters. And I'll remind the board that in the tobacco tax increase of this last cycle, we went through the discussion of whether or not all the percentages had to relate to all the programs. And the board's decision ultimately was, no, don't think we need to do that. That was appealed up to the Supreme Court, and the court rejected the challenge that said that each percentage needed to be specified in the ballot title. What we've got here is a percentage of a percentage for certain types of projects, the state transportation projects, and another percentage of the original percentage for municipal and county projects. I just don't think that's necessary. I think we can say to fund state, county, and municipal, state, municipal, and county transportation projects, as well as multimodal transportation projects, according to a prescribed formula or a statutory formula. And voters will know that if they really want to know if there's too much going to one pot as opposed to another, that it's prescribed in the measure. And the other thing that does, honestly, is to the extent that the initial three lines still rub me just a titch the wrong way, what it does is it allows that first discussion to focus on transportation funding so that people can actually read it and understand it and not necessarily have to rely upon my commas, your commas, our commas. I think just increase the state sales and use tax by 0.062% beginning January 1st, 2018 for state, municipal, and county transportation projects, as well as multimodal transportation projects.
Do you want the solely for language or solely to fund?
Yes, Madam Chair. Thank you. That's a very useful addition.
And if I could
Sure.
Comment on Mr. Gruskin's suggestion. I mean, it was not fun trying to figure out how to draft the language in terms of the 85-15 split versus what the split is within the 85%. But I do think in general, and it was evident with the last measure we dealt with, that I think usually the title board tries to sort of give more details in terms of what things are being spent on. The other thing that concerns me is, for example, the next measure that the proponents filed, number 24, is exactly the same, I think, in all respects, and that this is just my take, except that it changes the split of the monies of the 85% that gets split to the state versus the locals. And so if you don't have those figures in there, when you get to 24, you're going to have a measure that
the
title would say exactly the same thing and not give any information as to what distinguishes one from the other.
But I am representing on behalf of the proponents, and you can ask them since they're here if you need to. Only one of these measures, is one of the six, is going to be circulated. So there will be no voter confusion.
And I understand that. But the fact is that you have at least three versions that have, well, you have four versions that have the same distribution. And then you have two others that change the distribution between the state and the local. And the fact that you're doing different variations, to me, means this is important because for whatever reason, you're considering different splits. And so, again, to give that information about how much, and, you know, I've heard some of the arguments and the issues and the concerns going on with 1242 in terms of is the state getting enough money through the sales tax revenues to pay for the state projects that it needs to be doing versus should those be funded through the trans, all of that. But, and so that's another reason in terms of showing this is how much the state's getting and this is how much is being shared, you know, with the locals. That was my attempt to give more information because that seems to be a major issue of contention, at least with the bill in the legislative process, that why wouldn't the voters be concerned about, because it's a state sales tax, maybe they think all the state sales tax revenue, it's state, it would go to state projects. I mean, and I know by at least saying that it goes to state and local projects that accomplish that to some extent, but and I do think it's also important to distinguish that some of it is going to multimodal, which is also a component of the state projects and the local projects too. So, but
yeah, I think that
that's just my why I drafted it the way I did.
And I think just because it's important to the proponents in the decision they make, or you know, whatever the reason to do different kind of language. You know, sometimes it can have to do with whether you think you're going to pass single subject or roll the dice, whatever the reasons. I think saying specified or something to that effect where the voters can go look it up really covers it. And just because the language will be the same throughout. When you say, what was your commitment? You're not going to what?
There will only be one of these petitions that are before you this morning and afternoon that will be circulated.
Circulated, okay. And maybe you can help me with legislation on that someday because, you know, that's a problem for us when proponents say that there's only going to be one on the ballot. That's different than the commitment not to circulate because sometimes one measure gets held up in court. And because of the timing, you start to circulate your not favorite one. And then you get a ruling back from the court allowing, you know, passing another one pass the court's scrutiny, and then you decide to circulate the second one. And then we have two of the same petition circulating with different language, and that's a problem for us. So if your commitment is you're not going to circulate more than one, and not at the same time at all, then, you know, I think I'm fine with it. I would like to change that in the legislation at some point, because that gets very difficult for us, and we've had an issue with that before. Where are you? You want to do formulas or no formulas?
I like the percentages, but I would tweak it a little bit. I hope to make it more clear, but
okay.
Just very quickly, so I would strike the clause dealing with the 85% and basically break it down to three, which are the three categories. So we would say, of which 41.2% is used for state, 50.8% is used for municipal and county, 15% is of new revenue for multimodal.
But that's not right.
It's not correct, because 41.2% of all the additional
85.
It's 35, 50, 15.
Yeah.
If you want to use those percentages.
85% is going to be less than
41. Let's keep moving.
But do you want to do 35?
I still prefer the percentages.
Well, he's telling you what you could put in instead.
I'm fine with the way it is, though. I mean, I was just trying to simplify it, so I'm not trying to complicate things further.
But if what you want to do is use 35% for state projects, 50% for municipal projects, and 15% for multimodal projects, you'll be there without having to refer back to the 85%.
Yeah.
If you guys are okay with that, I think that's a more simple formula to advance it than what I see there for exactly the reason that I was confused.
Yeah.
So the numbers you just said, if we don't do the 85%, what's the split?
35, 50, 15. That's why it came out to be this weird 0.2, 0.8 thing.
I like that better.
I don't like doing math, you know, so I even though that those numbers don't appear in the measure itself, we're relying on your representation that's how it works in terms of the aggregate annual amount of new revenues, how it's split out.
Based on the direction from legislative council, so it's part of the record, but yes, it's not in the measure.
Okay. So then I think we could also remove the and on line 7 and insert a comma, and then insert a comma on line 8 after equally. So you have the three.
The only other question I'd ask is, because the line 1 says that it's a 20-year tax, do you on lines 5 to 6 need the ending date of the tax?
Isn't it the December 31st, 2037 date?
It is.
Okay.
But my point is that's the end of the 20-year period that's referred to in line 1.
I'm sorry, I'm missing.
You say on line 1, you say annually for a 20-year period. You don't have to do the math.
I was trying to avoid having the dates twice. I mean,
No. I understand. I think what you've done is say 20 years two different ways.
Right, with the more details.
Yeah.
Saying
it's not a huge issue. It's about 5 words. So.
And I was trying to.
No.
Duplicate.
And I appreciate it. And I don't.
I know.
It's not. I think this clarification is the more important one. Before you get to number 2.
But yeah, I agree. We could strike through December 31st, 2037, because that's 20 years. I mean, just have a start date.
As long as we then strike temporary.
I'm with you.
20 years is anything but temporary, I'm sorry.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, why don't we strike that? Where's temporary?
It's
further down.
I keep jumping ahead to three.
Save it, okay.
I think it's misleading.
Okay.
So I believe in, as to initiatives 20 and 21, do you want to act on those changes or?
Unless you have something else on that particular phrase.
I have nothing in one.
Okay. Then I would move the changes as reflected on the screen, lines 5 through 7.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
How do you feel about multimodal?
Well, that's, and again, my explanation is that's the terminology used in the measure. I know that the ballot question in 1242 picks and chooses certain aspects of multimodal, but isn't an all-inclusive list. And one, in terms of trying to make it shorter and cleaner, and two, not picking any, you know, good or bad, what might be viewed as catchphrases or anything else. Mm-hmm. I just stuck with the language of the measure.
I think that's fine. We have no objection to that.
Everybody knows what that is,
yeah.
But
again, I think that's
the blue
the
book, the campaign.
No objection to that wording.
Okay. All right. Then we're on, you want to change, were you going to say change anticipation notes?
I believe that we've already decided that there's appropriate coinage for that.
Yeah, bonds.
Although I wasn't sitting on the board, and I, you know, it was fine with the other ballot question, you know, that was approved in 99. It used that language.
I
know that there's, you know, from a technical sense in the financial world, there's a world of difference between revenue bonds, revenue anticipation notes, and what else is out there. Who knows? But if you think that.
Honestly, we think you made a mistake on the other one because you use bonds, and I'm not sure.
So you want to use this?
So we don't have a problem with this language. But I just wanted to call it to your attention so there was a conscious decision on the part of the board. That's all.
I'm comfortable using the terminology of trans, but that's based on my previous experience.
Yeah. I mean, if you're fine with it.
We are.
I don't think it.
No, I'm fine. If there's no objection from the proponents, particularly if there's no objection from the proponents.
Yeah.
And Mr. Gruskin, in that phrase, you know, I use the term priority state transportation maintenance and construction projects, which is based on the language in the measure and just based on a previous exchange of the various state projects. That's an accurate use of the term?
I believe it is, yes.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure, because I was drafting at a time when I didn't know the answers to your questions.
as used in the measure, the priority state transportation maintenance and construction projects may be funded outside of the trans funds, but it is also likely that there will be funding for that as well. But.
So I think we're good with two.
Okay.
Okay.
And three.
Remove temporary.
Yeah.
On line 11.
Yeah, I'm not sure I do understand the notion that temporary has anything other than a dictionary meaning, which it's not permanent.
But I don't think we need it since we have the dates up there.
You argued at the beginning that a 20-year period meant we did not have to revisit the period. We can either put 20-year period, 20-year period, 20-year period, 20-year period, which is clear because that's what it is. Temporary is misleading. Temporary is temporary for a short period of time.
No, actually, the definition of temporary is not for a short period of time.
I do not believe I believe temporary is misleading.
Well. I mean, you have a vote and I don't, but I'm just saying that the Webster's definition is not for a short period of time. It's for something other than a permanent status.
Interesting. We could, I'm more than happy to put in a 20-year tax rate increase, but then we need to put it in the other places too.
Well, I mean.
I just don't know that we need it. I don't know that it's misleading. I just think that, I mean, call it permanent, temporary, whatever you want. We already said it's 20 years.
Never mind. I'll find it here.
We don't have any other comments on the third clause, except that the end of line 13 and 14 says exempt from constitutional limitations. The measure itself says from constitutional limitations or any other law.
Oh.
And specifically, let me point you to the section.
Please do. It's on page 6.
It is section 9 of the measure. The last phrase is or any other law.
You want to just say legal limitations or?
I don't know that. From any limitations, right?
Okay. I'm fine with that.
And I'm good with that. And I struggled because we've been involved, way too involved with Tabor stuff, but in terms of revenue, spending, but then it was other limits of Tabor, and I didn't want to go there, and so that's why I just said constitutional, but then I forgot about the other part, so I'm fine with that.
Okay. Any limitations in law? Just because any limitation sounds like,
right. Yeah.
You know, now you can spend it on your personal travel account or whatever.
Build a spaceship.
Okay. So then I would move the changes on lines 11, 13, and 14.
Second.
Okay. Let me read it and then we'll.
Oh, you want to go vote?
Oh, yeah. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. Let me read it. Okay, so it's shall state taxes be increased $715,100,000 annually for a 20-year period, and shall state debt be increased $3.5 billion with a maximum repayment cost of $5 billion to pay for transportation projects in Colorado and in connection therewith. Changing the Colorado revised statutes to 1. Increase the state sales and use tax rate by 0.62% beginning January 1, 2018, of which 35% is used to fund state transportation projects, 50% is used to fund municipal and county transportation projects equally, and 15% of the new revenue is used to fund multimodal transportation projects. 2. Authorize the issuance of additional transportation revenue anticipation notes to fund priority state transportation maintenance and construction projects, and 3. Provide that all revenue resulting from the tax increase proceeds from the issuance of revenue anticipation notes and earnings on such tax revenue and note proceeds are voter-approved revenue changes exempt from any limitations in law.
So I would move adoption of the title as you read it and as it appears on the screen. Oop.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. So, Mr. Gruskin, is it a fair statement that the rest of these will just be a change in numbers?
Should be until we get to, let's just put it this way. I think number 24, number 25, and number 26 will be
a little different.
Somewhat easy. The 28 is a little bit more complex because it involves water projects.
You want to stay or you want to go?
Okay. And I will say that I didn't prepare any alternative drafts because I figured that whatever we decided on 23 then would be a basis for
the rest.
The others.
Okay, so let's move to 24. And Mr. Griskin, you want to just introduce yourself and your clients?
Yes, Madam Chair. My name is Mark Griskin, representing the proponents who will introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Anthony Milo.
And I'm James Moody.
Okay. And then do you want to tell us what you believe the change is here?
Change here is that the ...35% on line 6 becomes 50% and the line on... and the 50% becomes 35%.
You want to do single subject while he's flipping it? Or David,
sorry,
you
want
to do single
subject? What do you mean to move for?
Yeah.
About single subject?
Oh, sure, what's the...
24, yeah.
So I move that there is a single subject for 17, 23.
Your mic's not on.
I move that there is a single subject for 2017, 2018, number 24.
And we have jurisdiction.
Right. To set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. So I think Stephen's made the changes. So let me just read that one, and then we can discuss it if there's anything else. Shall state taxes be increased $715,100,000 annually for a 20-year period, and shall state debt be increased $3.5 billion with a maximum repayment of $5 billion to pay for transportation projects in Colorado and in connection therewith, changing Colorado revised statutes to 1, increase the state sales and use tax rate by 0.62 beginning January 1, 2018, of which 50% is used to fund state transportation projects, 35% is used to fund municipal and county transportation projects equally, and 15% of the new revenue is used to fund multimodal transportation projects. 2, authorize the issuance of additional transportation revenue anticipation notes to fund priority state transportation maintenance and construction projects, and 3, provide that all revenue resulting from the tax rate increase, proceeds from the issuance of revenue anticipation notes, and earnings on such tax revenue and note proceeds are voter-approved revenue changes exempt from any limitations in law. Any comments on it? David, you want to move it?
I move that the board adopt 2017, 2018, number 24, as it appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That takes us to proposed initiative 2017, 2018, number 25. Mr. Griskin, you want to introduce yourself and your clients again and then tell us the change in this one?
And Madam Chair, if I may, I would just go back to the record on number 24 and ask that the record on number 23 be incorporated in the board's consideration on 24 and every subsequent measure.
Absolutely, yeah, we'll note that, and now we'll move to 25. And why don't we clean that up in the beginning and incorporate everything?
Right. Madam Chair, my name is Mark Ruskin, representing the proponents. I would ask that the board's consideration of the ballot titles on initiatives 23 and 24 be incorporated by reference into this record, and at this time ask that the two proponents introduce themselves to the board.
Hi, I'm Anthony Milo.
I'm James Moody.
Okay.
And I would note, for purposes of all the hearings, that the proponents have executed the necessary affidavit.
Okay.
Madam Chair, as a matter of shorthand, this measure is basically Initiative 23 with one addition. There's a $150 million dedication of general fund revenues for the purpose of paying the trans bond. So it's the 35-50-15 state local multimodal split of Initiative 23 with the addition of the $150 million general fund set aside. And I don't know whether Ms. Eubanks has some language or whether this, I don't think the staff draft really reflected this issue succinctly.
Do you believe it's central? Well, while you think about that, let's do single subject.
I move that the board move to setting the title for 2017-2018, number 25, that it has jurisdiction and that a single subject.
Second. All those in favor? Aye. All right.
We think that in light of the board's previous conversation, and also this is a noteworthy element, that it ought to be reflected in the ballot title.
Okay. Well, then I'd have no problem with it.
And I did take a stab at some language. It may be inartful. It's sort of a difficult concept to accomplish. But what I would suggest is on line 12, after the semicolon, insert the number 3, paren, and the language require 150 million dollars, and with the dollar sign down, of state general fund revenue be used, and this is the inartful part, annually during the 20-year period to pay a portion, of the principal and interest on the, and then whether you wanted to say notes or revenue anticipation notes, like we did down in the next phrase. And then it would be a semicolon, and then changing on line 15, the 3 to 4. And I'm definitely open to alternative language.
Couple of things. I think principal is probably principal with an AL at the end instead of LE.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you need the words revenue anticipation as modifiers to notes, because the only notes referred to in the question are revenue anticipation notes.
Although down in the next phrase, we did talk about revenue anticipation notes there, too, in terms of not having transportation. But
I think it's fine.
The other question, and again, because I'm way too far down in the weeds, in terms of whether it's helpful in terms of saying state general fund revenue versus just to say 150 million of other state revenue be used. I mean, general fund means something to us.
Right.
It may not, I mean, the concept is that other state revenues from other sources are to be used in part to pay the notes. So that might be an alternative for your consideration.
If we could just confer what
sure, sure.
So I can give you a concise answer. We think that while it may be a term of art, it's probably a fairly well-understood term of art, and it certainly avoids confusion for, say, voters who have a particular concern in a fund.
Some other
cash fund.
Fund.
Okay. Say the Secretary of State's fund.
Our cash fund. That's always the example we use in our Tabor case. They put transportation in our office. We could just raise the fees.
So you guys have any?
Or could we? I don't know.
You have any suggestions on the language?
I'm fine with it.
Okay, then I would move the language on lines 12 through 15.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The only other thing that kind of came to us, although I think it's probably not something you would do, given the fact that the earlier measures included a phrase without reducing taxes, which isn't something that is expressly there, we would, you know, our measure doesn't reduce education funding. So maybe we ought to just throw something in like that because it doesn't. Mr. Blake is saying no, he doesn't want to do that. All right, well, it was mostly a tongue-in-cheek remark about that particular approach.
Well, that's where I was headed with the solely used for, but I mean, I guess that's done in, you know, when we specify the percentages, we don't have to say that. So
actually, we had a side Blake, Mr. Blake, that I couldn't get a smile out of you all hearing along, and I just want a cup of coffee. Thank you.
You win.
All right, let me read it. Shall state taxes be increased $715,100,000 annually for a 20-year period, and shall state debt be increased $3.5 billion with a maximum repayment of $5 billion to pay for transportation projects in Colorado, and in connection therewith, changing the Colorado revised statutes to 1, increase the state sales and use tax rate by 0.62% beginning January 1, 2018, of which 35% is used to fund state transportation projects, 50% is used to fund municipal and county transportation projects equally, and 15% of the new revenue is used to fund multimodal transportation projects. 2, authorize the issuance of additional transportation revenue anticipation notes to fund priority state transportation maintenance and construction projects. 3, require $150 million of state general fund revenue be used annually during the 20-year period to pay a portion of the principal and interest on the revenue anticipation notes. And 4, provide that all revenue resulting from the tax rate increase proceeds from the issuance of revenue anticipation notes and earnings on such tax revenue and note proceeds are voter-approved revenue changes exempt from any limitations in law.
So I would move adoption of the title for number 2016-17, number 25. Is that the
Second.
Correct number?
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. That takes us to proposed initiative 2017-2018, number 26.
Madam Chairman, my name is Mark Gruskin. I represent the proponents. I asked the board to take to adopt by reference the hearings on initiatives 23, 24, and 25, and ask that the proponents of initiative number 26 introduce themselves.
Anthony Milo.
And James Moody.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Number 26 is essentially initiative 23, except the tax rate is not 0.62, but is 1%. That's the funding split, the lack of a general fund share, everything is the same as initiative 23. So I think that if, assuming the board finds a single subject as to this one as well, simply changing the number at on line one will get you where you need to be. All right, excuse me, and the tax rate on line six.
Right. Okay. All right, let's start with single subject if somebody wants to move that.
I move that the board proceed to set a title on number 26 as it constitutes a single subject.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All All right, I'm going to go ahead and read it while we think about it. Shall state taxes be increased $1,153,000,000 annually for a 20-year period, and shall state debt be increased $3.5 billion with a maximum repayment cost of $5 billion to pay for transportation projects in Colorado and in connection therewith, changing the Colorado revised statutes to 1. Increase the state sales and use tax rate by 1% beginning in January 1, 2018, of which 35% is used to fund state transportation projects, 50% is used to fund municipal and county transportation projects equally, and 15% of the new revenue is used to fund multimodal transportation projects. 2. Authorize the issuance of additional transportation revenue anticipation notes to fund priority state transportation maintenance and construction projects. And 3. Provide that all revenue resulting from the tax rate increase, proceeds from the issuance of revenue anticipation notes, and earnings on such tax revenue and note proceeds are voter-approved revenue changes exempt from any limitations in law.
I would move adoption of the title for number 26 as it appears on the screen.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All right. That takes us to proposed initiative 2017-2018, number 27, and Mr. Gruskin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Mark Gruskin, counsel on behalf of the proponents who are here and will introduce themselves. I ask, while they're coming to the podium, that the record reflect the hearings on initiatives 23, 24, 25, and 26 by reference.
Hi, I'm Anthony Milo.
James Moody.
Madam Chair, this initiative number 27 is roughly initiative 25 in terms of having $150 million set aside. The difference is it is a 0.5% sales tax, and therefore the revenue number in the introductory Tabor clause and then the actual specification of the 0.5% sales tax increase on line 6 would need to change. But other than that, there should be no material changes for the board to consider.
Someone want to do single subject?
I move that the title board find that number 27 contains a single subject and we proceed to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. You keeping track?
Doing my best.
Up there.
I believe I believe staff has the revenue estimate for purposes of the taper.
Question.
I think that does it.
That does it. Okay. Why don't we?
So I would move the changes. Well,
yeah, I'll read it and then we can move
because okay.
We're That's not right. actually changing the staff okay. draft.
It all runs together.
So I know. Shall state taxes be increased $576,700,000 annually for a 20-year period, and shall state debt be increased from? Or shall state debt be increased $3.5 billion with a maximum repayment of $5 billion to pay for transportation projects in Colorado? And in connection therewith, changing the Colorado revised statutes to 1. Increase the state sales and use tax rate by 0.5% beginning January 1, 2018, of which 35% is used to fund state transportation projects, 50% is used to fund municipal and county transportation projects equally, and 15% of the new revenue is used to fund multimodal transportation projects. 2. Authorize the issuance of additional transportation revenue anticipation notes to fund priority state transportation maintenance and construction projects. 3. Require $150 million of state general fund revenue be used annually during the 20-year period to pay a portion of the principal and interest on the revenue anticipation notes. And 4. Provide that all revenue resulting from the tax rate increase, proceeds from the issuance of revenue anticipation notes, and earnings on such tax revenue and note proceeds are voter-approved revenue changes exempt from any limitations in law.
And I would move adoption of the title for number 27 as it appears on the screen.
Second.
All right. All those in favor? Aye. All right. That takes us to proposed initiative 2017-2018, number 28. Mr. Gruskin.
Madam Chair, my name is Mark Gruskin. I am counsel to the proponents who will introduce themselves for the record.
James Moody.
Anthony Milo.
Madam Chair, I ask as a courtesy that the record incorporate by reference the hearings the board just held on initiatives 23, 24, 25, 26, and 27.
We will do that. And how does this measure differ?
So this one is a little different in that its single subject is the increase of a sales and use tax for purposes of infrastructure improvements. It includes certain water projects to be funded through the Colorado Water Conservation Board Fund. And so the measure changes in terms of the slightly broader notion of infrastructure improvement funding and then the formulas.
Okay. Someone want to move single subject and then we'll talk about what the single subject is?
Sure.
Well, if we find one.
I move that the title board find that number 28 contains a single subject and that we proceed to set a title.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
So what do you have, Sharon?
I, instead of transportation projects, I had infrastructure projects.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in Colorado for the single subject.
Okay.
And I don't know, should we be using, I think,
what'd you say, 23?
23 is the basis, the title for 23 is the basis for this. The sales tax rate would be the same.
That is correct.
We'll have to change the percentages on the split.
So are we doing just straight cut and paste? Or
are we... Yes, straight cut and paste from 23 for 28. So I think that for single subject purposes on line 4, we would strike transportation and substitute infrastructure. So I would move that change. And then my recollection is, does the 2% for the water projects come from the...
From the 85%.
So those numbers are going to...
Yes.
Okay, and you have those numbers. I don't.
I'm not sure that I have broken down the figures such that they would fit into the formula that you've been using. If you'll give me just a moment.
Okay, while he's looking at numbers, why don't we go ahead and make the change on line 9 of striking the word and that appears before 15%. And then also on line 10, after projects, but before this semicolon, we want to insert a comma and 2% goes to fund high priority water projects. I think we probably need to say 2% is used to use. We need the word use. Yes.
How many mathematicians are there?
Maybe make his, get his calculator out.
Well, so the, yes, as a matter of fact.
It's a shame.
You're about to watch an econ major who was asked not to take the second semester of calculus. Actually,
I know that feeling.
Instructed is more like it by a benevolent mathematics professor. So the 35% becomes 33.2%. And the 50%, let me just make sure that I'm, right? Is that right? Okay. Is 49.8%. And actually, that would all add up to the right number, which is even better.
Yeah, it does. Okay. All right.
You want to incorporate those and read it?
Yeah, I'll read it. Shall state taxes be increased $715,100,000 annually for a 20-year period, and shall state debt be increased $3.5 billion with a maximum repayment cost of $5 billion to pay for infrastructure improvements in Colorado, infrastructure projects in Colorado, and in connection therewith, changing the Colorado revised statutes to 1, increase the state sales and use tax rate by 0.62% beginning January 1, 2018, of which 33.2% is used.
Can I stop you?
Yes, because it's wrong.
I believe, based on these figures, well, actually, the fiscal impact statement says that the 49.8 is dedicated to the state highway fund. So that's actually, I think we inverted it, right? And then the 33.2% goes to local governments.
Okay.
So I gave you the numbers backwards, okay, because we did it, used a different starting point.
Okay. Oh. Yep. Okay, so I'm going to go back to line
apologize,
6. Sure. Oh, that's fine. So starting with the sequence of numbers, 1, increase the state sales and use tax rate by 0.62% beginning January 1, 2018, of which 49.8% is used to fund state transportation projects, 33.2% is used to fund municipal and county transportation projects equally, and 15% of the new revenue is used to fund multimodal transportation projects, and 2% is used to fund high-priority water projects. We struck the and on line 9.
And I think, I don't believe there should be a hyphen between high and priority. Should be just two separate words.
Okay. And 2, authorize the issuance of additional transportation revenue anticipation notes to fund priority state transportation maintenance and construction projects. And 3, provide that all revenue resulting from the tax rate increase proceeds from the issuance of revenue anticipation notes and earnings on such tax revenue and note proceeds are voter approved revenue changes exempt from any limitations in law.
So I would move adoption of the title for number 28 as it appears on the screen and it was read into the record.
Second.
All those in favor? Aye. All right. Okay. That is the conclusion of our agenda. The time is 1:04 and we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Members, Madam Chair.